What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast. I'm Jamie Eisenberg. That's Dave Richard. Dave, we did our Fantasy Football Today in 5 show last night for Tuesday morning, and it looked like you were being held hostage. How are you feeling today? You feel like you're free, ready to go, excited for the day?
I'm out of bondage. I am ready to rock and roll and talk some serious fantasy football. Why? Hold on. It looked like I was being held hostage. There just wasn't light on.
We should set the scene. So you do the show in your house. Yeah. Everybody can see that you're at home. I'm at home. You know, we have our respective backgrounds, but the light was off on your shot.
I didn't want to turn. It was 9:30 at night, and I was mellowing out, and I didn't want to have some big bright circular light burning my retinas.
It's good to see you again, though. I'm excited to see you again.
I survived.
I was worried about you. All right, so today we're going to spend some time reflecting on the running back position and reviewing a recent half PBR mock draft. You can see the results on the site, cbssports.com. So we're going to spend obviously a lot of time on our teams, our picks when we get into the mock draft. But what was your favorite pick of the draft, of the 15 rounds that we did?
I'm going to be guilty of saying quarterback pretty much every time, but I got Deshaun Watson in round 6. And to me, that's just a screaming value. You can't argue with it. He finishes QB6 in fantasy points per game in 2020. It was 26.1 fantasy points per game, 2 points better than he was in 2019, 3 points better than he was in 2018, 5 points worse than he was in 2017, but you get the picture. He's been top 6 in fantasy points per game each of the past 4 years, and I look forward to having the quarterback of the Dolphins, Broncos, Niners, Patriots, Saints, Bears football team as my quarterback in that league.
Yeah, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about this because clearly nothing has happened. He's, clearly unhappy about the situation in Houston, and there is a lot of talk that he's not going to play with the Texans in 2021. Does that change things for you with Watson from being a surefire top 5 fantasy quarterback to maybe more of a bottom top 10 type of guy? I mean, is it going to change dramatically if he goes to the Dolphins, if he goes to the 49ers? Those are the two teams in terms of Vegas odds that he could play at. We'll see if there's another team that gets in the mix, obviously, but how much will things change for you with Watson?
Does a team trade for Deshaun Watson with the idea of being balanced offensively and not taking advantage of his skills?
I would imagine San Francisco does.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if I could say that about Kyle Shanahan, and that he's never had a quarterback like Deshaun Watson.
Well,
with Brian Flores in Miami. We don't know how they would react to having a quarterback like that versus, look at Ryan Fitzpatrick and the fact that they let him throw like crazy. And Tua Tagovailoa, they brought him along. They were actually aggressive in putting him on the field. It came out of nowhere last year. And I think Shanahan is just a master of playing to his offense's strengths. And I think that Watson would give him a pretty big strength. I'm going to be optimistic about Watson pretty much wherever he goes.
All right, so that's certainly a story we'll keep an eye on. But as of now, a member of the Houston Texans, Dave, very excited about taking him in the half PPR mock draft. For me, it was DJ Chark in round 7. I'm just going to be probably pretty glowing about the Jaguars wide receivers, knowing that Trevor Lawrence is coming and what the opportunity is there for those guys, barring somebody significant coming in, whether it's through the draft or free agency. But if DJ Chark remains in his spot as the number one wide receiver for Jacksonville, I'm going to be excited to take him anywhere after round 5. I'll probably start to look for him in round 5. But if I get him past that spot, that's going to be where I get very excited about having DJ Chark on my fantasy team. You know, you should be excited about the notorious Conor McGregor. He's back. UFC 257 is live this weekend from Abu Dhabi. Conor McGregor will be headlining UFC 257 versus Dustin Poirier. This will be their second time fighting. Conor won the first match via first round TKO, but that doesn't mean we should count out Dustin, who is 10-2 since losing to McGregor back in September of 2014. Morning Combat is the place to get all of your UFC 257 content, fighter interviews, including Poirier, Chandler, and more, previews with UFC Hall of Famer Rashad Evans, and of course, instant reactions to UFC 257 right when it ends. Download and subscribe to Morning Combat on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever else podcasts are found for the best coverage around the combat sports world.
What's the name of that podcast again?
Spend some time reflecting on the
What's the name of that podcast again?
Morning Combat.
You're not saying it the right way.
Morning Combat!
That's how you have to say it.
Well done. All right, let's reflect on the 2020 season when it comes to the running back position. So give me a guy who was a fluke for you from this past year. There's a lot of candidates. You know, we don't necessarily call this guy a bust, but that's probably what the safer label is for what most fantasy managers are listening to. But just from fluky performance, somebody that came out of nowhere and you don't think it's going to be replicated.
I don't think David Montgomery is going to finish as a top five running back again. I mentioned this on the FFT and Five podcast yesterday. He averaged almost 25 PPR points per game in his final six. And they included games against the Packers at the time. Their run defense wasn't very good. The Jaguars, the Lions, the Vikings. Like, he was tearing up terrible defenses toward the end of the season. And in the early portion of the season, before that final six-game stretch, he was averaging 11.3 PPR points per game. But I want to dig a little bit deeper into Montgomery, and there's going to be a much deeper dive at some point during the offseason. But in his first three games with Tariq Cohen, he averaged 16.3 touches per game. That's good. And it was basically on pace with what he did with Cohen in 2019 when he was a rookie. He had one game with over 100 total yards. He had one touchdown. It was a receiving touchdown. And he only had six catches in those three games with Tariq Cohen. And we know that he wasn't dominating snaps like he did later on in the year. Cohen will theoretically be back in Chicago. I know he signed a contract. He should be fine with the ACL. And they're going to have a quarterback change. Trubisky's a free agent. We'll see if they bring him back. That would be kind of surprising if they did. I'm not certain. Yeah, I'm not certain that that Montgomery is going to be as good as I am certain he's not going to be as good as he was in 2020, and I'm not even sure he's going to be a top 12 running back in 2021. I think he could be a significant letdown guy.
For me, it's all about the catches with him, because his catches spiked as soon as Tariq Cohen went down. And so Cohen will be back. I would not be surprised if Trubisky's still the quarterback there, whether it's a franchise tag, whether it's they work out some sort of cheap deal. It's just one of those situations where who's out there that they could find to replace him? They don't have a high draft pick. So I don't know if they go that route. Are they going to go back to Nick Foles? That's a worse situation, in my opinion. I thought Trubisky was better than Nick Foles last year. So I could see a small deal being worked out, Trubisky getting – you know, the 3-year cheap quarterback deal that we've seen several times over the last several years, which I don't think is bad for David Montgomery by any stretch. But I think from the standpoint of where he finished to where he started last year, it's all about Tariq Cohen for me, because the catches are going to be the thing that sways him. And I don't think he's catching the ball nearly to that level with Tariq Cohen back.
Right. Like two a game. That was his average with Cohen in 2020.
You're hoping for three a game, you know, but I think two and a half on average is probably what you're looking at. For me, it's James Robinson, not because I don't like him, not because I'm not excited about him. And as we'll talk about in a little bit, I drafted him in the second round of our half PPR mock draft. And I did it in both drafts that we've done so far, our PPR and our half PPR drafts. But it's just about a player who we haven't seen do it before, now getting everything changed. New coach, new quarterback, and we don't know about the competition in the backfield. So I hope James Robinson is not a bust. I hope it's not a fluke. But I am a little bit concerned about him replicating what he did in 2020, doing it again in 2021 in his sophomore campaign. Let's move on now to some poor performances from 2020 and some guys who could bounce back. So these are not necessarily guys that finished in bad spots, but didn't have the best of fantasy seasons, especially given the expectations. So, Dave, who's a bounce back candidate for you?
I'll say Miles Sanders, figuring that he can – and there are some variables that have to come into play, number one being who is this play caller, what's this offense going to look like. In theory, I shouldn't say in theory, they've been a West Coast offense forever. And so I don't know if they're going to change it from that. The only time they weren't was during Chip Kelly's reign in Philadelphia. But Sanders was given the opportunity to be a workhorse at the beginning of last season. He averaged 15.4 PPR points per game in those first five games, four of them with at least 12 points. It's not bad. It wasn't giving you what we wanted when we took him with a first round pick. But he also closed 2019 strongly as the lead back. And I'm thinking whoever the new coach is, they're going to have so much work to do and so much paring down of the salary cap to do and making things work with what they have, that trying to change up the running backs is going to be very low on their list of things to do. One of the other things that will be low on their list of things to do is finding starting offensive linemen, because whether they're in bad contract situations or guys coming back from injury, they're going to be pretty stocked on the offensive line. Lane Johnson will be back. Brandon Brooks will be back. Jason Kelsey will be back. Andre Dillard will see if he can ever turn into something great at left tackle for Philadelphia, but he's going to be back. So that offensive line should be better. And maybe they do a little bit more to take pressure off of the quarterback, whoever that quarterback may be, by leaning on Miles Sanders, who should be the primary running back for Philadelphia. Not taking him in round one in 2021, but I could see him right now being a round three pick and maybe with enough hype getting into round two.
Does the quarterback matter for him? Is there one you prefer?
Oh, I'd be okay with either one. I think I'd like it a little bit better what version of Carson Wentz am I getting? Am I getting the version of Carson Wentz where he's confident and well-protected and he's running an offense that he's comfortable with? Or am I getting Carson Wentz where he's scattershot and he sucks? So I'm going to trust whoever Philadelphia puts at quarterback. It wouldn't be bad if it's Hurts, but I think it would be best if it's somebody like good Carson Wentz who can attack downfield and make defenses play straight up against him.
I actually would prefer Hurts. I just think the running lanes that'll be open for Sanders will be there. I think the offense, depending on who the play caller is, will design throws to him. Hopefully that's the case. But I do think that Hurts opens things up for this offense a little bit more. So I would like to see Jalen Hurts as the quarterback for Miles Sanders. But I agree with you. I don't really think it matters. I think he's going to get the offensive line back at 100%. And
that's the biggest thing.
And it's the same thing for my guy, which I took the low-hanging fruit of Ezekiel Elliott bouncing back. He was clearly the one of the biggest busts in 2020. But how much of it was him? How much of it was the situation around him? Dak Prescott going down in week five, offensive line falling apart all throughout the season. And everybody hopefully be back at 100%, at least the main key components on the line and the quarterback. And so if all those things are there, we saw what Ezekiel Elliott was at the start of the season compared to what he was at the end of the season. The pass catching role is certainly a big part of what he does. Now, will Tony Pollard take on too much work? That's the key question at this point. But it's very difficult to see Ezekiel Elliott getting past the first round in most fantasy leagues. He was a first round pick in both of the drafts that we've done so far, and deservedly so. So I do think he's going to bounce back and bounce back in a big way. He's not going to be a top five overall selection, but I think by the end of the year, if everything works out well, you're going to say, why didn't I take Ezekiel in the top five based on what the potential is?
There's a buy low window open in Dynasty on him right now if you're trying to win in 2021.
Absolutely. Great call. You should be looking at players like Ezekiel Elliott, Miles Sanders, you know, players who had bad seasons and have the potential to bounce back and bounce back in a big way. All right. So we have some running backs that have fallen off and, you know, may not recover. There is one guy in the news. We just tied in, I guess, with one of the news items. The Ravens are releasing Mark Ingram. They've notified him they're going to release him. And so that could be a guy that ends up with a team that maybe ruins a backfield, because I still think he has a little bit left to offer, but no longer a starting running back in the NFL or starting caliber running back in the NFL. But he could end up being part of a tandem or committee, and that could ruin one of our fantasy stars. But in terms of some of these guys that we're talking about here, who is a guy that you don't think will ever recover and rebound as a starting fantasy running back once again?
I took the low-hanging fruit here, and we'll go with Todd Gurley, who is an unrestricted free agent and just looked like he was spent. I mean, when Ito Smith and Brian Hill are taking you off the field, you know that it's over. So I can't imagine anybody feeling good about drafting Todd Gurley before pick 100 in a fantasy draft in 2021. I don't think he's going to get a starting job. And at best, he'll be, you know, a short yardage goal line guy for some team somewhere, somehow, some way. It's a terrible fall from grace for Todd Gurley, who 3 years ago was the cat's meow at running back in fantasy.
It's amazing. You know, you wonder how much that knee has really been an issue for him. Just the lack of explosion. he got, you know, good fantasy production at the start of the season last year because of the touchdowns. And, you know, I think we all kind of got a little overexcited when he had that game against Carolina, when he had over 100 yards rushing and looked like the Todd Gurley of old, but just a shell of himself to close the season. So you wonder if a team even is going to sign him, you know, if he gets an opportunity to play in the NFL in 2021. I know that sounds a little shocking to say, but
like, can you even believe those words are coming out of your mouth?
Yeah, no, like you said, you know, 3 years ago, when they made their Super Bowl run, we know that he had the knee injury at the end of that season. And yep. It was like, okay, you know, hopefully he'll be back for the playoffs. And he ran well in the postseason, but he wasn't the same guy. And then, you know, it was our guy, John Breach, one of our NFL guys who ran into the Rams owner at a coffee shop at the Super Bowl. And he said they were concerned. And, you know, John was a little hesitant to write that story. And as we've seen, you know, they moved on from Gurley after signing him to the mega deal. And his career is kind of spiraling in the wrong direction, which is really unfortunate for what he's meant to fantasy football and certainly what he's meant to the Rams and even for the Falcons.
And we knew about the arthritis in his knee from talking to his trainer, and like the pieces kind of added up and the Rams copped to it. They did what they had to do to eat salary cap space. And this is related in a sense financially, that do the Rams know the mistake that they made with Jared Goff? That they gave
a lot of that,
too much money and too big of a contract for a guy who's not giving them enough. But they're stuck. They are really stuck with salary cap ramifications with Goff.
I mean, you know, they went all in to try and win the Super Bowl, and you know, some of the trades that they made afterwards, obviously the Jalen Ramsey deal. But the thing with Goff, and I think you're going to see this with a lot of teams as the as a lot of these, you know, especially these young quarterbacks, when they start to come up, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you don't have a guy that you feel comfortable with, what do you do? You know, just keep hitting the reset button, or you got to pay these guys. When you pay these guys and they don't live up to it, we've seen it time and time again. I mean, you know, the ones that have been very good, Matt Ryan, Matthew Stafford, you know, those caliber of players, had to pay them. The ones that haven't been as good, the Derek Carrs of the world, you know, those guys have been good, just not great.
Right.
And you get guys like, you know, Jared Goff and some of these other quarterbacks that when you pay them and they don't materialize, it's an unfortunate situation.
It's terrible. And their cap situation, the only way they can get out of it is if they trade him. And I just don't think there's anybody that's going to take Jared Goff and trade right now.
No.
Especially on that contract. I don't think it's going to happen. Don't think it's going to happen. So, all right, who's the running back that you think is done?
Yeah, for me, it's James Conner. And I don't think he's done as an NFL player. It's not the same situation as Todd Gurley. And I was a little surprised. I wish we had a little bit more time yesterday to get into it with Chris Towers saying that he would take James Conner right now over, or at least he hasn't projected higher. I don't know if you draft him then, but projected higher than Cam Akers and J.K. Dobbins, if I remember him saying that correctly. I know he said Akers. But I just don't see Conner staying in Pittsburgh. I can't imagine they're going to pay him what he wants. And who's going to pay him at this point a deal to be a great starting running back for them? I think he's going to have to go somewhere where he's a part of a committee or take a very small deal to stay in Pittsburgh. And even as we saw this year with the Steelers, he wasn't great. He has a hard time staying healthy. I think he's a hell of a player. I think he's got a great opportunity if he did get a starting job to still be successful. But injuries are a problem for him. He just can't put consistent production together. And I just don't see him getting that type of opportunity again to prove himself like he did in Pittsburgh, which fell into his lap, really. I mean, you know, he wasn't drafted to be a featured running back with the Steelers. He was expected to be a complimentary piece to Le'Veon Bell. Bell stepped away for a season because of his contract. James Conner was great that year, and he never lived up to it after those first 13 games. Remember, he had the ankle injury at the end of that season, and then he's never really been the same type of guy. We've seen spurts. There's been stretches, but at this point, I just don't see it for James Conner. So he's somebody that at this point with the drafts that we're doing, I'll draft him as a flex at best, but to be a starting running back, no chance.
I don't think it's there for him either, but there's one thing I noticed about him, and this is just a fantasy stat. Six of his first seven games, and I bet you can remember which game in his first seven was not the good one, at least 13 PPR points in six of his first seven.
But where is he getting the opportunity to get that work again? That's the problem.
I wonder if he takes it, like, this would be the ultimate hometown discount. He spent his entire football life in Pittsburgh, college at Pitt, drafted by the Steelers. Does he take a hometown discount to have a chance to be their feature back? And when I say feature back here, Jamie, I'm thinking more of like a 50-50 split.
He's the 1A.
I think that might be the best case scenario is that he's the 1A. He might end up being the 1B depending on what the Steelers end up doing.
But they're in salary cap hell. I mean, even if it's a friendly deal, I mean, it's got to be almost like he's losing money to stay there. And I don't know why he would attempt to
your point, what team out there is going to give him $5 million a year?
Yeah, I don't know if it's that, but you know how teams are with running backs. Did we think Tevin Coleman was going to get the deal that he got? You know, he went to a coach that he knew. And so it's those type of scenarios where, you know, he's going to be competing with a guy like Mark Ingram, with maybe a Kenyon Drake, you know, mm-hmm. and we're talking about various scales here, but, you know, those type of players that are looking to, hey, I can still be this caliber of running back. I mean, the Broncos paid Melvin Gordon. We didn't know if he was going to get the type of deal that he got, you know, so teams fall in love with names and past production. And I'm sure there's probably a position coach that he's known somewhere along the way that will put in a good word for him, or a scout. And I hope he gets an opportunity, because it's a fantastic story, everything that he's had to overcome in his life. But I just don't see him as a fantasy option, knowing what I've seen the last two seasons, or watching the last two seasons, and knowing the scenario that I just don't see him going someplace. Like, does Atlanta consider him as a guy? You know, you're looking at teams that have holes right now, right?
Right.
Does Atlanta, does Buffalo, if they're not sold on Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, you know, or on cheap rookie deals as third round picks, do they make an investment on a running back like this? You know, those are the type of teams that you're looking at and saying, okay, do you know, again, varying scales of where does he get an opportunity? If I'm an NFL team, I'd much rather have James Conner than Todd Gurley. I mean, that goes without saying.
Absolutely.
So, you know, just in terms of, you know, fall from grace for a fantasy guy that we were drafting. Remember, we got excited about him last preseason.
Oh,
we thought, okay,
man.
This was a chance for him. He crept into the second round. And unfortunately,
I was excited the year before,
people,
too.
You know, disappointed with his performance. All right, so let's spin it now forward on positive direction and talk about a breakout player for 2021. Who's the guy that you're looking at as a breakout candidate?
I will bring up Jeff Wilson. I didn't want to go with one of the second-year running backs because I figured that they're going to be popular breakout guys. So I looked at the 49ers situation. Jamie, can you tell me which 49ers running back had the most games with 10-plus non-PPR, 15-plus or 13-plus PPR points in 2020?
I'm going to guess Jeff Wilson.
It was Jerick McKinnon who had six of each, but Jeff Wilson was right behind him. But McKinnon, 29 years old, free agent. Tevin Coleman, 28 years old, free agent. Raheem Mostert, 29 years old, could be a cap casualty. Remember, he moaned about getting a new deal last year. He held out, and he got a little contract, and now that contract is bloated, and they might let him go. So there should be some shifting of running backs in San Francisco, but the one guy who's probably going to be there, I would be stunned if he's not actually, is Jeff Wilson, who's 25 years old. He's also a restricted free agent this offseason, but they can give him a one-year deal where he stays there for a couple million bucks, and they make him their featured back. I think he's their most physical back. I think he might end up being their most durable back. Not a do-it-all guy. There's no chance he's going to be 20 touches a game every single week. Just when the other guys are hurt, he'll be that guy. But I think if I can draft him with the idea of him being a low-end number two running back, like I'm going to draft a ton of running backs early in drafts this year anyway, but past the second year running backs, that's where I'm going to look for Jeff Wilson. I think he can, I think he's got a chance to really have a great season. And that's saying something because he scored 10 touchdowns in 2020.
He was great. He was certainly what Raheem Mostert was for the 49ers in 2019, you know, when everybody was expecting Tevin Coleman to be the lead guy. And before he got hurt, Jerick McKinnon, and Mostert came out of nowhere. They do a great job of finding these caliber players. And it's the Shanahan tradition. His father did that in Denver. Kyle and Mike have done that, you know, at times when they've been together. Alfred Morris is clearly a good example of that as well. You know, a sixth round pick in the NFL draft that no one expected to be the starter in Washington that season. He showed up great in the preseason, and he ended up being a fantasy star that year. I think this is a great call. It's just a matter of what will the rest of the offseason look like for the 49ers, because they're getting that money off the books of McKinnon, who's been, you know, unfortunately a bad free agent signing because of injury. Tevin Coleman, same type of player, you know. So did they learn their lesson and not necessarily go spend money on a guy? Do they draft somebody? I'm also curious with Jamichael Hasty if they don't bring in anybody else, because he could be that second guy to Jeff Wilson.
He could be. That's a great point.
This year, you know, so Wilson's going to be intriguing. I took him in this draft. He was, where did I draft him? Round six, I believe it was.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I had the swing picks at pick 12. So I took the 49ers combo, Brandon Ayuk at the end of round five and Jeff Wilson in round six. And Raheem Mostert, I believe, went in round six or seven. Let me look it up here.
Yeah, he went in seven, James.
Went in round seven to Heath.
Love it.
And so
totally on board with that.
You know, we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. You know, if Mostert's back though, Dave, are you still gonna feel the same about Jeff Wilson?
I've got to assume at this point that he will be back because he's under contract to be back. Yeah,
but I mean, you're speculating that they may move on.
Yeah. And the nicer part about it is by the time we get to July and August, that round six move might be round seven or round eight, because there will be rookies in our drafts and there will be free agents that have changed teams in the draft. So maybe he falls a little bit. He's someone I'd like to have on my team to begin the year.
Yep. And this is why we do these drafts now, for fun speculating, but also to look back and go, oh my God, what an idiot. Why did I take Jeff Wilson in round six ahead of Raheem Mostert? For me, I'm going to go with the low hanging fruit and take one of the second year running backs. And that's DeAndre Swift. Inconsistent rookie campaign. And once he got the job coming off their bye week, he was pretty special, and then had the hip injury, the concussion, you know, some things that marred the end of his rookie campaign. But I think you saw the talent, and, you know, certainly there's an opportunity here for him. And really the thing I think with Swift is the debate of the second year running backs. Is he before or is he after Akers, Gibson, maybe Dobbins, you know, in PPR? I think in non-PPR, half PPR, it's a little bit different conversation, which is why we're talking about Dobbins here. But, you know, is Swift better than those guys? And you know, we're expecting Dan Campbell to be the head coach of the Detroit Lions. That hasn't become official yet, but, you know, who's the play caller, you know, and how much will that matter? Is Stafford back? Obviously, that's going to be a big part of this. Is Galladay back? You know, do they invest more in the offensive line and try and, you know, build out that unit and make it a little bit better? But, you know, Swift showed you something last year. I hope they move on from Adrian Peterson. I hope they don't make this too much of a timeshare. And that really was the case those first few games coming off of their bye week. So Swift showed you something, showed us something. You know, he was a guy that I think you were a little bit higher on than I was, Dave, in the preseason. I remember the debate for us was Akers versus Swift.
Yep.
You were a Swift guy. They both ended up being very good at various points during the season, and they showed you the potential going into 2021. So when you get past, obviously, Jonathan Taylor, and I guess we should throw Clyde Edwards-Helaire in this conversation as well, because you drafted him in round two. So are you still taking CEH over Swift? I know you said when we talked about this the other day that you take Akers over him, but or at least on the Fantasy Football 25. You take Akers over Swift. Akers over Edwards-Helaire. Would you take Swift over Edwards-Helaire as well?
I don't think I'm there yet. And I'm not certain I'm going to take him over Dobbins, because I'm worried that both Dobbins and Swift could be in timeshare situations. I still love the talent of all these guys. They're all awesome. But I need to learn a little bit more about what the Lions' plan is going to be at running back. I know that Swift will be a part of it. At worst, he'll be in a 50-50. I want him to be the feature guy. I want the coaches to say he's our guy. I think he can handle it. But who's the quarterback? Who's the play caller? How aggressive are they going to be with the run, et cetera, et cetera? The one encouraging thing I would say about him is, like, toward the end of the season, not exactly sure how many games we're talking, because I'm doing the math off the top of my head. I think it's his last 11 games. He had at least 13 PPR points in seven of them. That's a good start. And I like that he had a lot of short yardage touchdowns in 2020. So those are some good things that a guy like Swift, who you look at as more of an air back, can build off of. I think he's got some potential. I really hope the coaching goes his way.
And he went in the third round of this half PPR mock draft, just to, you know, kind of tie in these second year running backs. Jonathan Taylor was the first one selected, as you would expect. He went fourth overall. Then it was James Robinson with the first pick in the second round. I always forget him because he wasn't drafted, but he was the first pick in the second round of the wasn't drafted in the NFL draft. First pick in the second round of this half PPR draft. You took Clyde Edwards-Helaire as the third one with the 10th pick in the second round. And then round three was when they really all started to go. Antonio Gibson was the first one drafted, J.K. Dobbins right after him to you. And then DeAndre Swift went a few picks later. Cam Akers fell all the way to round four. Now, again, we did this draft right after the season ended. So after before his two playoff games against Seattle and the Packers. And so I think that's going to change some people's minds. He probably creeps up maybe even ahead of all of those guys based on some of the things we've seen and certainly what will happen this offseason for the Rams. But DeAndre Swift is a breakout candidate for me. For you, it's Jeff Wilson. All right, we're going to take a break right now here. When we come back, we're going to get into the half PPR mock draft, break down the first two rounds and tell you about some surprise selections that Dave and I both made.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Dave, let's get into this half PPR mock draft a little bit more in depth here. So the way that we do these drafts, we don't include the rookies. It's a two running back, three wide receiver flex league, and the flex is running back, wide receiver, tight end. So we're just kind of reflecting on what happened in 2020, looking ahead with some speculation before the draft, before free agency, of what could happen for 2021. It's all members of our CBS Sports staff. You can see the results on cbssports.com. You can also check out our PPR mock draft that we talked about last week as well. So first round, there were nine running backs drafted, two wide receivers, and one tight end. Here are the first five picks, and you picked at number three. So we'll talk about your pick at number three.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Alvin Kamara. I guess we'll go six. Alvin Kamara, Devonta Adams. So McCaffrey, Cook, Henry to you, Jonathan Taylor, Kamara, and Adams. So I think you took Derrick Henry in both drafts that we've done so far. You took Henry at four in the PPR draft. We got to change up these drafts. The draft order, you're getting too many high picks.
Could you move me to one? That would make things a little easier.
But in any event, Derrick Henry at three, was that an easy choice for you, or did you have to debate it between Alvin Kamara, maybe Devonta Adams as the number one receiver?
Oh, absolutely. I debated it with Kamara. You know me, James. I'm not taking a receiver that early. And with Kamara, if we knew that Drew Brees was going to come back, yeah, even this version of Drew Brees, I think I'd be really comfortable taking Alvin Kamara, knowing that those catches count. But in half PPR, knowing that Derrick Henry is just a bull, he's a monster, I'm ready to say that he's a safe, strong, early first-round pick, even though he has back-to-back seasons with over 400 touches coming into 2021. That's something that might make him make that face like you smell the fart in the room. But I think he can handle it. I think he's just a big, beefy dude, and this is who the Titans are. I'm comfortable taking him that early, even in a half PPR, probably even in a full PPR, because he can get you 20 points per game on average in that format too.
Yeah, I don't know, full PPR. I can see half PPR. Full PPR, I probably would go. I mean, if you're talking about safe, Devonta Adams is probably safer just based on what his role is and what he's produced most of 2019. All of 2020, when he was number one receiver, and he outscored Derrick Henry by 5 points per game. So if you're talking safe and upside, obviously position comes into play. But
that's what the tiebreaker is for me.
Yep. All right. So again, the first six picks: McCaffrey, Cook, Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Alvin Kamara, Devonta Adams. The back half of the first round: Saquon Barkley, number seven; Nick Chubb, number eight; Ezekiel Elliott, number nine; Tyreek Hill, 10; Travis Kelce, 11. I had the 12th pick, and I took Austin Eckler. So, Dave, anything stand out to you about those next six picks? Barkley, Chubb, Zeke, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Austin Eckler.
I think Zeke going nine. I think Chubb going eight and Zeke going nine could get a lot of eyeballs, because there are going to be some people that just will not touch Ezekiel Elliott. They're going to think that he's just tainted off of a terrible year, but you got to look past that. And if he's still with the Dallas Cowboys, getting Dak Prescott back, theoretically, I mean, the Cowboys still have to sign him or franchise him, whatever they have to do, and getting that offensive line healthy. And we talked about that on a previous podcast. Not sure if it was the FFT and five or not, but his offensive line, assuming that they all get healthy, that's still going to be one of the best offensive lines in the league if it happens. So there's variables there, and the Cowboys could move on from him, but they're going to eat a lot of cap dollars if they do. I don't know if they're going to be in a real position to do that. I think they might just rather what the decision they have to make is whether or not they're going to guarantee next year's salary, 2022 salary, right after they got to decide that in mid-March, right after the league new year starts. And I think they're going to do it, but if they didn't like what they got out of Zeke and they don't think he can get back to that spot that he once was in, and they want to protect their cap for 2022, they'll dump him. And maybe it's a trade, maybe it's not. It would be weird if they just straight up cut him. I think it's even worse on the cap if they cut him. So I think the odds are that he'll be back in Dallas, and that's a good spot for any running back to be in. So I get why he's going to be a first-round pick. And hopefully by the time we get to July and August, everybody else will feel comfortable taking him toward the back end of round one like that happened here. Nick Chubb, no one loves the fact that he's going to keep sharing with Kareem Hunt, but he's still, I don't have a problem taking him in the first round. I think he's still one of those running backs that you can look at and say, stud, going to get a lot of fantasy points, build a team around him.
Absolutely agree on Chubb. Absolutely agree on Elliott, like we talked about earlier in the show. If you want to get more on Ezekiel Elliott as well, listen to the disappointing running back that we think will bounce back for 2021. I took Eckler and James Robinson with the swing picks. Like I said, I am concerned that Robinson could be a fluke, but when doing these drafts, looking at these running backs and still the potential, we also did this draft before Urban Meyer was hired as the head coach, so take that into consideration as well. Now, in the second round, some running backs that I took James Robinson over, Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones in particular, and then all of the second-year running backs not named Jonathan Taylor or James Robinson. Those guys will all come into play for me. Jones in particular, depending on where he ends up. If he stays with the Packers, that's going to be a big, I think, get for Green Bay if they're able to keep him. But if he leaves, and he can end up being maybe the starting running back, I'd love to see him in Atlanta. I'd love to see him with the Jets. You know, one of those two teams, based on the hires that those two guys have, I think could be very fantastic. I know it sounds icky to say, ooh, Aaron Jones with the Jets, but offensive line is got
has it's getting better.
Great.
Yep.
And coaching staff now has the potential to be great. So I think that situation is going to be good for whatever running back they get. And then obviously with Atlanta, knowing that Arthur Smith is there, clearly Derrick Henry is a special talent. But I think Arthur Smith deserves some credit for bringing out that special talent. And we'll see what he's able to do in building out the run game there in Atlanta, which, as we talked about with Todd Gurley, was clearly a frustrating situation. So Eckler and James Robinson, the picks for me to end round one, start round two. Here's the beginning of round two as well. So James Robinson with the first pick, then Stephon Diggs, George Kittle, Calvin Ridley, Josh Jacobs, and DeAndre Hopkins. So, Dave, same question. Anything stand out to you in terms of surprises? I know that we are both right now in the camp of Waller over Kittle.
Right.
Kittle went ahead in this draft. Waller was the 19th pick in the second round. But anything else stand out to you in terms of the first few picks of round two?
He was right after Hopkins, and that's the only thing, is the tight ends. I would take Waller over Kittle. I love them both. I think this is an okay spot to take tight ends in 2021 because the depth at running back is going to still be pretty good when you get to round three. The receiver depth is going to be unbelievable because they're kind of getting pushed down by all the running backs that are going to get taken, and the quarterbacks are going to get pushed down too. I don't know if we're going to have a mock draft in a one quarterback league where a quarterback goes in the first two rounds, if not the first three rounds. So there's a lot to like about taking a tight end and having that true position scarcity on your side. If you feel really good about taking, going like running back, tight end, running back, and then go look at our mock drafts and see the receivers that went in rounds four through six, that's a strategy. That's a plan you can take, but it might have to be a plan that you take, especially if you've got an early second round pick. Not sure you're going to be able to do that. Maybe you can do tight end, like Kelsey, running back with your first three picks if you're
let's play it out in real life because he took Travis Kelsey in round one. In round two, he took Stephon Diggs, so no running backs. So that's the, you know, not.
So when did he take, what did he do in round three?
So he started Kelsey, Diggs, and then round three, he went with Patrick Mahomes. So he went, as probably close to zero RB as you'll see a lot of people start. Chris Godwin in round four.
Oh, that's zero RB. That's it.
So he definitely went all in. Brandon Cooks in round five. And then we get to round six, and he's got Kenyon Drake as his first running back. Raheem Mostert as his second running back.
All right. But it doesn't really matter who he took here.
Huh?
Like it's the strategy of it because I don't know what type of running backs will really be there by the time you get to round five in July. But that is Jeff Wilson territory.
There's always going to be guys that we say, oh, this guy should not be good. You know, it's going to be.
It's guys that can just get you off to a good start.
Damien Harris, you know, those type of guys. And I'm putting them in starters roles, you know. Those caliber of players. If the Jets don't add anybody of significance, and it's let's say LaMichael
Pierce, it's Frank Gore,
and they go that route, or Frank Gore. All right, let's play out the scenario. I guess that was a bad example, just because not knowing what his team looked like. So you said going
running still back, interesting
running back. So RJ White, again another bad one. He took Tyreek Hill and George Kittle. Let's find one that actually did work here. All right.
Well, what could Heath have done in round three?
We'll go to one that. Perfect example, because Chris is very high on well, I guess none of these guys did running back tight end. Chris did Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, and RJ did Tyreek Hill. George Kittle. But we get your point. Going running back, tight end, and then loading up on running backs and take another running back in round 3 and then going wide receiver.
And then ignore him for a while. Right. Yeah.
Easy way to do it. All right, let's get to the back half of the second round. So, again, it starts with Darren Waller, Aaron Jones, DK Metcalf. You took Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We'll get into this a little bit more about the guys you drafted him over. Justin Jefferson and Michael Thomas round out the end of the round. So you got Waller, Jones, Metcalf, Edwards-Helaire, Jefferson, and Michael Thomas. So take us through your thought process on Edwards-Helaire, knowing that it was a good start to his rookie campaign, a disappointing finish to 2020. And again, we did this draft right after the season ended, so not necessarily seeing what Cam Akers did and that performance. So I think that could change your mind. But obviously, you know what those guys have done in the season. So you took Edwards-Helaire over Dobbins, over Akers, over Swift, and over Antonio Gibson. All those guys went in the third round.
And so what's my thought process? Mm-hmm. I wish I'd taken Cam Akers. That's okay. My thought process as I sit here right now. That's what I would do if I could have a do-over on it. But I got some stats on Edwards-Helaire that makes me kind of comfortable about him. The fact that he had 6 games with at least 9 non-PPR points, 7 with at least 12 PPR points in his first 10 games as a rookie, that's something to build on. And let's be real, he's Andy Reid's running back. At least I hope he's his main running back starting in 2021. And the offensive line, hopefully that gets a little bit stronger. Remember, they began the year without the doctor, Tardif, at guard.
Yep.
And then they signed Osemele and he got hurt. So I wonder if that played a role into them.
Mitchell Schwartz got hurt.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, that's another one too. So like they had their offensive line issues as well that could have hurt him. But there was obviously something that the coaching staff didn't love about Edwards-Helaire because they went and got Le'Veon Bell. And we were scratching our heads at the time about Le'Veon Bell. And it's come to pass in the playoff game that just happened. It was all Darrell Williams, very little of Le'Veon Bell. So I think that he is more of a work in progress than we wanted to believe when he came out of LSU. And I hope that what he does is shows the coaching staff this offseason, and hopefully it's a normal offseason, that he is a good passing downs guy. Because I loved his skill set as a pass catcher at LSU, and we just didn't see enough of that in his rookie season. So if he can build on that and be more than a 50-50 guy, be their lead back, maybe the third downs do end up going to Darrell Williams in 2021. I can live with that. Maybe he gets better at the goal line. You remember how that first game went for Edwards-Helaire where he just could not punch it in. And maybe that's part of the offensive line too. It definitely is actually. There were plays where he had no shot because of the offensive line. I think he can be a very good fantasy running back. And you want to talk about a breakout candidate and a bounce back candidate all in one, it's Edwards-Helaire. I just think I'd feel better going with Akers at this point, knowing that Akers should be in that main role for the Rams where he's getting 18 plus touches per game. I don't think Edwards-Helaire is quite there yet for Kansas City.
There's two things at play for me. I would have taken all those other guys over in this format. I think Edwards-Helaire easily over Dobbins in full PPR, but I think I would have gone with Dobbins. I would have gone with Akers. I would have gone with Swift, and I would have gone with Gibson. I also would have taken Miles Sanders ahead of Edwards-Helaire as well, who went in round 3. There's two things. One is Damian Williams back, because I think that's something that you got to keep an eye on, because clearly the Chiefs love him. And is he the missing link to what this offense is? And the second part of it, if Damian Williams isn't back, they're probably going to go with somebody else in that spot, because Le'Veon Bell's gone. He's not coming back. And what's the other player that they bring in? So I want to see those two things happen. If Williams is there, I'll be a little bit more concerned about Edwards-Helaire. If it's another rookie, if it's another aging veteran, I wouldn't be as concerned. But, you know, if Damian Williams does come back and he opted out the season, as we all remember, because of concerns over COVID-19, Darrell Williams showed you what Damian Williams was doing last year. You know, not to the same explosiveness, but, you know, we didn't really see that a lot from Edwards-Helaire consistently throughout the season, especially after Le'Veon Bell came on the roster. So I wonder if the Chiefs had a do-over, would they take Edwards-Helaire with the first round pick in the NFL draft, knowing how things worked out for them? Did they feel like they got a good return on investment? I hope so down the road, but you know,
right. They can't say that for 2020, but it's more about down the road.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're still very bullish on him.
The other part of it is no offseason, you know, so let's give the kids some credit. You know, he was thrown into the mix. He wasn't expected to be the starter. They did expect to have Damian Williams when they drafted him. So no offseason to speak of. Let's see how he does with a full offseason. Hopefully he'll be 100% healthy, and we'll see if he's able to play in the AFC Championship game as they take on the Buffalo Bills. All right. So you can see, again, the full results of the draft. We'll recap our teams in a second, but you can see the full results of the drafts on CBSSports.com. Dave, one pick you made I think was interesting and probably going to end up being a great value if it ends up going like this is Courtland Sutton in round 7. You took him over some other receivers, though, that are probably going to be in the same conversation for a lot of fantasy managers that they may debate. Hollywood Brown, the way he finished the season, was fantastic. He could still be the number one wide receiver for the Ravens. Jerry Jeudy on Sutton's team, we know that they're going to try and increase what his production was after a disappointing rookie campaign. We saw how much he was targeted down the stretch, I think, as the Broncos trying to get him going. And then DJ Chark, as we talked about, I'm very excited about him. I'm sure you are as well. But we'll see how this whole offense comes together for the Jaguars once they get Trevor Lawrence and get the play caller in place for Urban Meyer. But is Sutton an easy choice for you over those guys, or was it something you debated as well?
For now, he's an easy choice over those guys. I'm making the assumption that the Ravens do add to their receiving core, whether that helps. I think it ends up hurting Marquise Brown. I know that he finished strong, and I'm happy to see that because I think he's a talented receiver, but it's a team that doesn't throw a lot, and they're going to add another receiver to try and force defenses to not hone in on the run anymore. At least I'd be surprised if they didn't add another receiver. So I'm not sure that Marquise Brown will give you a good return on investment. Obviously in round 7 he could, but like in round 5, for example. Jerry Jeudy, we know that he's got great potential, but I think Sutton is probably a little more well-rounded at this point. And so Sutton, he averaged over 13 PPR points per game in 2019. He finished as wide receiver 18 in 2019. I think that he can be whether they change their quarterback or not in Denver, I think he's still going to begin the season as their number one guy. Could Jeudy overtake him? Absolutely. And maybe we'll clip this and play it back in July, and I'll say, what? There's no way I said that, because I really like Jerry Jeudy too. But I do think that Sutton in round 7, at the very worst, he'll be the very good number two receiver in Denver. And if they have a great quarterback, that offense is going to be amazing with Jeudy and Sutton, Noah Fant at tight end, the whole group. And I don't know if their run game is going to be that great, so they could end up throwing quite a bit. I'd like to have a piece of that. Sutton's a great value in round 7 to have.
Two situations where the sophomore wide receiver in 2021 can overtake the veteran guy, and I use veteran loosely because Courtland Sutton is entering his fourth season, but we talked about one on Monday's show with Dallas where CeeDee Lamb could end up being the better fantasy wide receiver than Amari Cooper, and Jeudy could still end up being the better wide receiver than Courtland Sutton.
It's true.
It's clearly easier in Denver because of Sutton coming off a significant injury. CeeDee Lamb has to prove he's better than Amari Cooper and command the targets. Jeudy, I think, is going to command the targets. He just has to prove that he's better than Courtland Sutton, and Sutton has to prove that he's healthy. All right, let's take a look at our teams real quick. Dave, I'll read your team. You just jump in if there's anything that stands out you want to talk about. But your quarterback is Deshaun Watson. You talked about that with the value that you got on him. Derrick Henry, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, your first two picks. Kenny Galladay, T. Higgins, and Courtland Sutton, your wide receivers. Irv Smith is your tight end. J.K. Dobbins is your flex. On your bench, you got Joe Burrow, Tariq Cohen, Joshua Kelly, Tony Pollard, A.J. Green, and Mike Williams. Do you think A.J. Green still has something left to offer if he gets signed to a team that can use him as maybe a number two wide receiver and in that respect?
I think he was my last pick. So it was just like a what the hell. I know he's still talented. I think he could be a good bench receiver in fantasy.
We'll see. Hopefully he gets an opportunity to still play. For me, my quarterback is Jalen Hurts. And again, we did this draft before Doug Peterson was fired. I don't know if I would have taken Jalen Hurts to be my starter, but I did take Taysom Hill as my second quarterback, going way off the board as fantasy quarterbacks here, not knowing if either guy will be a starter in 2021. But that's why, again, we do these drafts. Now, my running backs are Austin Eckler and James Robinson. My receivers, again, 3-receiver league. Keenan Allen, Brandon Ayuk, and DJ Moore. I love that group of receivers. And getting
a good group.
Keenan Allen in round 4 to me was just fantastic value. Hunter Henry is my tight end. Jeff Wilson is the flex. I took him in round 6, like we talked about, over Raheem Mostert. My bench is A.J. Dillon. I love that pick as well because he could be the starting running back for the Green Bay Packers next year. But I also took Jamal Williams. So I would not be surprised if Williams gets a hometown discount to stay in Green Bay. And that's the start. That's the running back duo for the Packers next year because Aaron Jones is probably going to command a little bit too much money. But I took DJ Chark as a 4th receiver. Thrilled about that. Christian Kirk is a 5th wide receiver. I love this receiving core. And second tight end I drafted was Blake Jarwin, which I will probably do quite a bit of because I don't know how excited people will be about Blake Jarwin knowing that Dalton Schultz will still be there. But I still think Jarwin comes back as the lead tight end for the Cowboys and has a chance to be a top 12 guy like I thought he would be going into 2020. But unfortunately, suffered that torn ACL. Dave, you know what?
What's up?
you can listen to Fantasy Football Today on your smart speakers. Simply say, Alexa, play the latest episode of the Fantasy Football Today podcast, or hey, Google, play the latest episode of the Fantasy Football Today podcast. You know what I like to say? Hey, Alexa, make sure Dave Richard is safe and not being held hostage. Yes, glad to please. See your smiling face once again.
Thank you, Jamie. Thanks for paying the ransom.
We'll be back on Thursday for a little bit more in-depth look at the wide receiver position, also previewing the championship rounds. It's going to be fun. Hopefully Patrick Mahomes is healthy and we get Allen, Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady. Could be some fun games and some fun DFS plays as well. For Dave Richard, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for listening to Fantasy Football Today. Got to go. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.